Welcome to Mike and Amit Talk Tech. And today, we're going to talk about a company, which is kind of an interesting one because it's not a company that has been talked about that much in terms of the big digital giants of the last decade, the GAFAs and whatnot, and is primarily a hardware company, which is also not that common. This is NVIDIA. We're going to talk about NVIDIA today, which is a $2.2 trillion company, which makes it bigger than Meta, bigger than Alphabet, and bigger than Amazon. And this kind of took a lot of people by surprise, I think. It's not that they came out of nowhere. They've been around for a while. But I think people are a little bit surprised at how big and powerful they have become in a relatively short period of time. So Amit, what's the story about the rise of NVIDIA?
Mike, we have to rewind a little bit and tie that to the rise of quote-unquote AI and machine learning tools to begin with, right? So all of us are familiar with the famous CPUs that happen to be in our computers. If you look down right now in the machine that you're using, it runs obviously on a CPU. We've all been super familiar with CPU. The famous Intel Inside logo was based on creating really, really cool CPUs. And all the while that these CPUs were out there, there were also some things called GPUs that were in our machines, except they weren't running our machines. So GPUs are graphic processing units. They were typically used in screens. They were typically used for graphics. Now, what's the difference? And I'm going to give you a layman's intuitive understanding, which is all I have. I'm not a computer scientist. So please, any computer scientists listening, please don't hold this against me. By and large, CPUs are designed to do a small number of extremely massive calculations, right? So think of the really, really, really heavy kinds of lifting that a standard laptop or desktop or PC needs to do. The idea is that CPUs, the better and better they get, the bigger and bigger calculations that they can handle. GPUs, on the other hand, are designed for something completely else. Now think about your screen, right? Your screen's made up of thousands and thousands of pixels. And every individual pixel has to turn on and off, or it has to show specific shades at certain points in time. Now the individual calculation required for each pixel is relatively simpler, but you've got to do thousands of these calculations in real time simultaneously. And that's what GPUs were able to do. Now, when we move to machine learning, turns out that GPUs are much, much better at running things like deep learning algorithms because they also require thousands and thousands of relatively small calculations happening in parallel. NVIDIA recognized this. It was one of the first ones. And this is where credit goes to Jason Huang, who's been the CEO of NVIDIA. He recognized this particular fact. He invested heavily in improving his GPUs. It started off as a relatively niche kind of a market. And of course, we all know what's happened over the last couple of years. It's completely exploded and it's become one of the most important companies on the planet, exactly like you say.
And the way it helps me to think about the difference between a CPU and a GPU is imagine if you've got the task, you've got to deliver 1,000 flyers, right? You got to deliver 1,000 flyers. Well, you could use a CPU, and a CPU is like one guy who's like super fast, right? But he can only carry one flyer at a time, right? So he's running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And so he's fast, but it's going to take him quite a bit of time to deliver those 1,000 flyers. Then you got a GPU. You know, the guy's not as fast or as powerful, but he can deliver 1,000 at the same time. There's like not one guy, there's 1,000 guys. And so they can all take one flyer. And so overall, they're a lot faster than the CPU. And I guess many of you will remember there was this kind of race and Intel will come out with a little bit of a faster chip. And then somebody else will come out with an AMD or somebody else can be a little bit of a faster chip. And now you don't see that anymore. You don't really see that. I mean, do you even know what chip is in your laptop? And the whole world of hardware for a long time got kind of commoditized, right? So you had, you know, do you know the brand of RAM or memory or solid state hard, you know, drive in your computer? It's just basically commoditized. And what NVIDIA was able to do is be able to kind of break that cycle. so that their GPUs were just so much better than everyone else's that they could use it as a competitive differentiation. And if you look at all the big companies, all the big digital giants out there at the moment, there's really only one that's like that, and that's Apple. You know, Apple differentiates on hardware. Nobody else does, really. You know, Microsoft is software. They've tried hardware, haven't done very well, right? Amazon's tried hardware, haven't done very well. You know, Meta, you know, all the other big companies are basically software or data companies. And so NVIDIA managed to bring back the competitive differentiation into hardware.
But it's not just hardware, is it, Mike, right? They've got two other secret sauces that we're going to talk about right now. And I'll speak about the first one, which was an amazingly prescient acquisition that they did in about 4 years ago in 2020, when they purchased a company called Mellanox. Now, not many people know about Mellanox. It was actually a pretty big purchase. They bought it for about $7 billion. It's an Israeli company, if I'm not mistaken. And what Mellanox used to do is that Mellanox had basically systems for incredibly high-speed communication between chips, okay? Now, when people were running very, very large data centers, this was not that big a business because people preferred, or architects preferred, using Ethernet, which is significantly cheaper than Mellanox's technology, which is something called InfiniBand technology. However, the moment the world moved to GPUs, the advantage that Mellanox gave them was simply incredible. Because specifically for NVIDIA graphic chips, the GPUs, they designed them around the Mellanox technology since they owned both of them for the last 4 years. And what that has done is that the computation time that's wasted by moving stuff between servers, that has completely essentially disappeared, right? So you integrate Mellanox's communication technology with this incredibly high quality GPU chips. And that was advantage number two that NVIDIA had. But they had yet another secret sauce, didn't they, Mike?
They did. And this is something, we're going to geek out here a little bit, Amit. Something called CUDA. CUDA stands for Computing Unified Device Architecture. And CUDA is software. And they developed this software, NVIDIA developed the software in 2006. So it's not a recent innovation. And what CUDA does, it's software that sits on top of the GPUs and allows them to work together. And this is the key, right? The key is it's not just one GPU, it's thousands, or in the case of, you know, ChatGPT, GPT 3.5 used 300,000 NVIDIA chips at the same time. And the only way they can actually get that parallel processing was using this software layer called CUDA. And CUDA only works with NVIDIA chips. It only works with NVIDIA chips, and Intel and AMD, and there's open source versions that are trying to compete with it. They're just not as good. And the thing is that there's a lot of software developers out there, not so many hardware developers. So as soon as you can put software on top of the hardware that developers can work with, then you have applications. So you have hundreds of thousands of software developers now that are developing customized software to take advantage of the parallel processing in these GPUs using CUDA. And that has been a huge competitive differentiation for NVIDIA. Even if the chips are not better than the competing chips, they can work better because the parallel processing that's allowed through CUDA. So this is another kind of secret sauce innovation, and that's actually software, not hardware.
It really is, right? And what this has done is it's given NVIDIA, especially in the last couple of years, unprecedented economic power as well as geopolitical power. I mean, it's just absurd how important this one company has become worldwide. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about economic power, first of all. We all know it's a $2 trillion company. We all know that no NVIDIA chips are available on the open market. I believe they're sold out for the rest of this year or something like this. I forget when. And a single chip today sells on eBay for something like $45,000. That's one chip, mind you, and you need a few hundred thousand of these, like Mike just said, to run especially Gen AI kinds of applications. But Mike, we all know from economics, right? Anytime there is excess profit to be made, excess rents, excess revenue, other players will jump in.
other players will jump in, and that's indeed what they're doing. So we have Google already with their tensor processing units. You know, they're in the market already. So, you know, Google is creating their own version of the NVIDIA GPU chip. And they're already powering, you know, a lot of Google services like search, translation, Google Photos, that type of thing. Amazon is in the market also with different types of chips, competing with NVIDIA. So they're Inferentia chips for inference workloads. They're Trainium chips for training AI models. They're out there. You've got Tesla that's running its own chips now to support its full self-driving. And then you have some of NVIDIA's biggest customers, like Meta. I mean, Meta has hundreds of thousands of NVIDIA chips, one of their biggest customers, is also now investing in their own in-house chip development. Microsoft has been talking about it. OpenAI, of course, Sam Altman's famous $7 trillion investment in chip manufacturing. They're looking into it. Yeah, where he's going to get that amount of money, who knows, but that's one of his aspirations. Apple also have already moved into developing their own chips. So, you know, what do you see based on, you know, these competitive moves, Amit, about NVIDIA's future potential to sustain their current levels of performance?
I honestly think that the triple advantage that they have built up, right, which is the chips itself, the connectivity with the chips with Mellanox, and the software, the CUDA that you mentioned, I think that is pretty solid. But as we know, nothing lasts forever, right? So I suspect they'll have a year or two runway ahead of them. There is another competitor which kind of also brings in the geopolitical angle, which is Huawei. Huawei is, and the Chinese government are investing bucket loads, literally unlimited amounts of money. Because quite honestly, for Huawei, for Chinese competitors, for the Chinese government, this becomes an almost existential problem, right? The current U.S. administration has, for all practical purposes, banned the shipping of these chips anywhere to China, I suspect, or Russia for that matter, and I suspect some of them still get through back channels, but nothing at scale. And what this has basically meant is that the Chinese have realized that this is the new oil. I mean, this really is what's going to drive competitiveness of nation throughout. So the kinds of investments that they are making in this are mind-boggling. We are talking hundreds of billions of dollars here. We are talking about developing entire supply chains, because that's one thing we have learned, that it is not just about figuring out how a chip is made and putting a plant. No, there is an entire ecosystem, an entire supply chain that's popping up in Vietnam, in Malaysia. India is getting in on the act, admittedly, with significantly lower-end chips to begin with. So my sense is that over the next couple of years, we are going to see incredible amounts of investments in this. I suspect NVIDIA will hang on to its advantage for a while. But in a couple of years, I think there will be very, very solid alternatives that will indeed pop up for them.
Yeah, I'm not particularly bullish on NVIDIA if we look 2-3 years in the future for many of the same reasons. I mean, you know, I think if you invest enough money, and a lot of companies with very, very deep pockets are investing significant amounts of money, they're going to come up with things that are as good, and not maybe not even as good, but good enough to run these models. And then, you know, you combine that competitive situation with what's happening with China and other nation states investing heavily. I think, you know, the potential to differentiate on this type of hardware in the future is going to be limited. And I think the pendulum will swing back to the differentiation being on access to data, quality algorithms, good software, access to technology skills, you know, those types of drivers that have been the real forces of competitive differentiation over the last decade. So I see this as a kind of a short-term blip, which NVIDIA has brilliantly taken advantage of. But I'm not sure we'll be talking about NVIDIA being a $2 trillion company in 3-4 years. I really don't.
Not to mention that this industry has traditionally been insanely cyclical, right? I mean, when it goes down, it really goes down, and then you can't give the chips away. And I think overall, right, I mean, if we take a 30,000-foot view, this again kind of highlights the famous, you know, in a gold rush, sell shovels. You know, who's really making money from Gen AI? Is OpenAI really making money? No, they're still making losses. Google's making losses. Microsoft has invested heavily into Azure and into Copilot, but they're not making any money. But NVIDIA, who's selling the shovels, who's selling the hardware, the non-sexy part of this whole thing, they are a $2 trillion company. And again, to your point, Mike, once the hype around Gen AI slows down, that could bring in the cyclicity of this particular industry, and who knows how this might end up for them. But for now, man, is it good for folks who invested in NVIDIA a couple of years ago? So, folks, there you have it. That's how we see the chip industry. That's how we see NVIDIA, its competitors, the impact that Gen AI has had on GPUs, the manufacturer, as well as the ecosystem. Thank you very much once again for tuning in to Mike and Amit.tech. Please stay tuned for our next episode, which you will find wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And in the meanwhile, if you would like more information, we will be available at ind.org.